Enthusiasm and belief in me is unfailing to my success. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Enthusiasm and belief in me is unfailing to my success. Thomas Edison was thrown out of school in the early grades when the teachers decided he could not do the work. He wasn't challenged. But that's another story. Enthusiasm and belief in me is unfailing to my success. We were speaking a moment ago about how important it is to be number one and how important it is to be alive, to be of benefit to anybody. And a recent author commented that a man should realize that he's number one. But she didn't say number one. She just said, do you realize that you're going around the world helping everybody else and blessing everybody else and doing good things for everybody, but you're not doing it for yourself or your family? And she said, you travel over 1 million air miles every year. Haven't you noticed what's on what the stewardess say to you? And he said, well, what's that? They say, should there be a drop in oxygen or a drop in air pressure in the airplane, an oxygen mask will drop out of the overhead compartment and right in front of you. You put the oxygen mask on first and then help anybody else who needs help. You put the oxygen mask on first and then you help anybody who needs help. We sometimes forget that. In fact, we forget that all the time. And what is it that we forget? We forget that we are number one. We forget that we are very important. We forget that when we die, it won't make any difference. When we die, nobody will care. They'll go on with their own life. They have to. They might feel sorry that we're not there, and might miss us, mourn for us or something, but they go on. They don't run out and grab a knife and kill themselves and say, all is over because my dear beloved is gone. No, they go on. Okay. Last night, I talked on the White Brotherhood a little bit and on many activities that we get involved in. And what I didn't say was that I have had the privilege of studying many different organizations, many different teachings, many different philosophies, and I think it's wonderful. But in my study of each of these philosophies, I did what I thought was the most important thing to do. I gave myself 100% to them, each one. When I studied unity, I was 100% a unity student. I was down at Silent Unity, I worked in Silent Unity, I worked, met Charles Fillmore, I did all these great things, and I had just a wonderful time, and I learned a great deal, 100%. And then when I was at the University of Chicago, Chicago Theological Seminary, going through their training program for ministerial work, I gave myself 100% to that. And then when I was with the Science of Mind, I gave myself 100% to that, to Ernest Holmes' teachings, and just admired and worshiped the guy tremendously. He's a fantastic writer, a fantastic mind, a fantastic person, you know. Then when I was with the Congregational Church as a youngster, I gave myself 100% to that. I followed everything that was expected of me as a youngster. When I was a Boy Scout, I did everything that I was supposed to do in there. And I was very upset with my scout troop because we had a great gymnasium in which we held our meetings every Wednesday night or something like that. I'd come to the meeting having learned all of my scout requirements, you know, the little details that we had to learn, the pledge that we had to learn, and the oath of being a scout. And nobody would test me on these things so that I could get my badge. They all wanted to play basketball. And so we played basketball instead. And I didn't get anywhere in my scouting. So I would go to the scoutmaster and I'd say, hey, here's what I've learned. Da, 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 da. I didn't give him a chance to say, I'm not going to do it. I just said it to him. He said, oh, that's good. Okay, here's your badge. You know, but if I would have said, hey, you got a minute to hear my learning that I did tonight? No, we were playing basketball. But I just went up to him right in the middle of the basketball game I said, "Hey, Scoutmaster," and I had learned it, and I didn't want to forget it because I wanted to get it said to him while I still knew it, you know. And of course, I remembered it, and I got my badges, but only through diligence and sheer diligence. The rest of the group was more interested in having fun there, which was good. I mean, I wasn't against having fun, that's for sure. But I had learned that stuff, and I was going to get credit for it and get it done. So then after I left that, I went into many other things. And I read many books. And I wanted to know about Buddhism, so I read the books. I wanted to know about Confucianism, so I read the books. So I wanted to know about Lao Tse, so I read the books. I wanted to know, and I wanted to know about Islamic, and Muhammad, and I read the book, and I'm glad I did. And as I read all these things and talked to people who were in those particular faiths, those beliefs, they hadn't read the book. In fact, I have been in Christianity most of my life, joke, and I talked to people about the Bible, and people don't even know what the Bible says. And the Bible says everything, good or bad, right or wrong, depending upon what you want to take it for. And so I tell people, the Bible says this, and they said, "Oh, no, it doesn't." Look here. And you could just open it at random and it'll say it, you know. And, oh, my goodness. Well, for goodness sakes. And I'm not so smart. I'm not trying to say I'm smart. I'm just saying that whatever I go into, I give myself 100% to them. Well, I went into the Church of God Unlimited. I went into the philosophy here, and I created the philosophy out of my background and everything under the sun. And as I did this, I took what I believed and wrote it down, and wrote down my books. So I have no trouble. I don't have to refer to what I said because it's my belief. And so that's where I am. Now, I have hundreds of people coming to me from various walks of life asking about philosophy, asking about what they should believe. They have been to Sai Baba. They have been to here, to there, to every place else under the sun. And they say, "Well, now, what should I do? What should I believe?" And I say, "Hey, it doesn't matter what you believe in somebody else. It only matters what you believe in yourself. What do you believe? What is your..." And then we would talk, much like the Socratic system. And I would say, "What do you believe? Why do you believe that? Could you believe that if you were facing a problem? Could you believe that faith heals? That a change of attitude heals? That your thought about yourself and your world heals? Could you believe that? Could you believe that if you're really facing something difficult?" And then it's academic because they're not facing something difficult, so it really didn't make much difference. But they got the point. They got the point that if what they believed is what they lived, then that's great. Now, many of you here have gone to different teachers, you call them masters, and you studied with or under them, and you were... You were idiots. And you were idiots because of one thing. Because you did not go there 100% giving yourself to what they were doing. Now, Ellen has been the chairman of the board and president and all that kind of stuff here of God Unlimited University of Healing. Well, one year, Ellen said, "I'd like to go see Sai Baba." And I said, "Go." And I said, "But remember one thing. Go there and pay attention to him 100% and what he says. Don't relate him. Don't judge him. Don't think anything about what he's doing. Just listen to him. Give him 100%. Remember? 100%. Pay attention to his program. Pay attention to how he operates his organization, how he runs his monastery, how he runs his school. Pay 100%. And with interest and with respect. Not with looking for fault finding. But just with 100% respect." And she couldn't quite do that. She came close, but she couldn't quite do that because she had her belief so engraved in her consciousness that she could not put it aside for just a few minutes and listen to somebody else. But she did to a degree. Now, if she had, she would have found out 100% that Sai Baba teaches exactly what we do.
Exactly
what we do. But she couldn't do that because she was comparing all the way along. If she had compared when she got back home, if compare is the right word, if she had seen where the philosophy is the same, the teachings are the same, that'd been great. But she did it en route, and that's never a good idea. Because first you save yourself. You put your oxygen mask on. When you are with another teacher, if you're a Catholic, be the best Catholic in the world, and you will find out that you love it or that's not for you. If you love it and it's for you, go for it. It's not the teaching, and it's not the teacher. It's the individual who follows the teaching. What do you choose out of any teaching that is important to you? What do you choose out of any teaching that is important to you? I oftentimes have treats in my pocket for my dog. And so I am with the other dogs, Button and Love. And Button comes up and he puts his nose by my pocket and he says, I know what's going on. And he says, I want to be part of this team here, you know. And so I bring out a treat for him and for Love. And they know, whenever they see me, they come and smell my pocket and they know if there's something in there or not. They know if there's even one little treat left. And they want to make sure they get it. But when I have no treats, they go about their life. They go about their business. I don't exist. They are themselves.
I think so.
Now, you see, this is what you should do when you are studying any philosophy. Take everything the philosophy has to give, every treat it has to give, and make it yours. And when there's no more treats, then go about your own life of living your life. And if your life is a reflection of the philosophy that you have learned, of being loving and gentle and kind and wagging your tail when you get the treat, you know, and being thoughtful and courteous and all that other good stuff, then that's great. But if you are angry and somebody comes and tries to take your treat from you, and you get upset, then you haven't learned your treat. You haven't learned the philosophy. Now, for years, Button never bothered if somebody came and took the food from him. But Ellen has been recently saying that Button should have his food and Little Love should not come and snitch Button's food because Little Love just loves to come and grab food from wherever he can get it. He doesn't care whose it is, you know, and how big it is. He goes in there and he grabs it. And because Ellen has changed her attitude, Button has changed his attitude. And Button now goes, you know, don't touch it. You know, he's getting real, real feisty about it. And that's not his nature, but that's Ellen's nature. And so Ellen has to be very careful what sort of a nature she is inculcating into her creation, because the pets are our creation, as you know that. So we have to be very careful. When we're following many beliefs, we are following no belief. When we are following many beliefs, we are following no belief. When we are following a belief, there is no other belief. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
When you are following being a Catholic and being the best Catholic that the world has ever seen, there is no other belief. You don't argue with the Muslims. You don't argue with the Mormons. You don't argue with the Baptists. You don't argue with anybody. You just say, this is it. This is the greatest belief on the face of the earth. And the Catholicism is the most fantastic belief that there ever was. And you're the best Catholic there ever was. And when you are the best Catholic there ever was, you are the best person there ever was. Now, it's not because you're a Catholic, but it's because you follow whatever it is you believe with all your heart. Now, you can be from an Indian, you know, and following the Great Spirit. And that doesn't have Catholic or Buddhism or anything else attached to it. And do we respect the Indians who follow their teaching? Do we respect the Indians who follow their teaching? Yes, we do. Not because we understand the teaching, although they're all the same. Not because we understand the teaching, but because we respect the person who follows whatever it is he believes. Mm-hmm. That's your belief. So, now, people come here to campus. They come to the University of Healing. And they come with their preconceived ideas of who they are and what they believe. And I tell everyone in my private talk with them, I say, now, put aside every belief that you have, every concept that you have, impossibility, you know, but put it aside for now and just follow our program 100%. Follow what we suggest to you while you're here and get the blessing. Now, it may not change your life, but following one consistent program, that'll change your life. But it's only as you learn to do this that you can apply this in other areas of your life. So, people who walk away from here with a smile on their face and a delight in their heart, you know they've gotten something. People who walk away from here with a frown, you know they were fighting all the way. They were fighting everything that we said, fighting everything they were told to do. I don't want to clean up somebody else's house. I don't want to do this. I don't want to wash windows. I'm not a housemaid. I didn't come here as a housemaid, you know. We have one of our students who came here, and she says, I get paid to wash windows, and I get paid to do it. Hey, all right, let's do something you weren't paid for. Go mow the lawn. Were you ever paid for that? No. Well, then go mow the lawn. Go do this. Do something you weren't paid for so you don't have that attitude about what you're doing. If you cannot, if that's how you clean people's windows and clean people's houses, but you know, pay me and I'll do it. Don't pay me and I'm not going to do it. Whatever you choose to do, whether you're paid or not, do it 100% and do it with all your heart. Do it with all your love. I have people come into my house and I trim the nails of my puppy sometimes a little too short, and they bleed for a little bit. And so sometimes there's blood on the carpet. And I say, you know, take the blood off the carpet. Or I don't even say it. Ellen does that, or Sylvia or something. And so they come in, and they work on the carpet. And they say, I can't get it off. I say, hey, I didn't ask you to do anything. Don't tell me you can't do something. And so, but I can't get it off. And I said, what seems to be your problem? I wanted to take the blood off the carpet where the dog's toenail bled, you know, but I can't get it off. And I said, do you want to take it off? Well, that's not the type of thing they say, you don't want to take it off. In your consciousness, you don't want to do that. So you're not going to be able to do it. It's like when you don't want to do a job, you break the tools. You know, this is very common. And so I say to them, okay, you just sit down there. And then I go over and get a little bit of cold water and rub the spot, turn the cloth, rub the spot, turn the cloth, rub the spot. Pretty soon, all the blood's gone. But it's not supposed to come off like that. Well, I wanted to take it off. You didn't want to. No matter what you would use to take it off, it wouldn't work. You could use the most powerful chemical, and it would clean all around there and leave the blood right there. It's just the way it works. When your consciousness does not want to draw in the blessing of a circumstance, you won't. And so this is how it works. This is how it works. Now, Ellen says, Herb, your carpet's all dirty, because the puppy comes running in from outside with dirty feet and mud on his feet and stuff. And Herb, your carpet looks terrible. And I said, Ellen, I didn't say this, but I should. Ellen, stop and look at my house and say, what a lovely house. And then look at the carpet and say, oh, the dirt is uniform across the carpet. There's not a spot here and a spot there, but it's just all dirty. and you know, it's okay. You know, it's okay. And then Ellen brings the vacuum cleaner in there and pushes it back and forth and cleans it up, and it looks very nice. And 2 seconds later, Rex is out digging in his garden, you know, going to China, and he comes back in the house and shakes and everything. It's right the way it was just before Ellen came in. But that's wonderful. It's not the cleaning the house. It's not these doing these things. We find a great challenge in finding things for our guests to do that would give them an opportunity to be irritated. because everything we give to people to do is done so that they can be irritated or not. And if they can stand doing it without being irritated, then they have mastered that.
Mm-hmm.
Then they are unjudged, non-judgmental about it. And that's beautiful. But the thing is, if it's just a normal thing, you know, what is it we teach in our book?
God is neither reasonable nor logical.
So all the tasks that we give people should not be reasonable or logical.
Hat keinen Grund und keine Logik, alle arbeiten.
Because if we give reasonable and logical things to people to do, they'll say, of course, I know that has to be done. But if you give unreasonable and unlogical things, then people say, well, why should I do that? You're not to ask, you're to do. And that's what you're here for. You're here to learn to just follow through with what you're doing, because this is a school. And what do we say over there? You are not being tested, you are being fortified. You're not being tested, you're being fortified. You're being strengthened to do what you have agreed to do. Now, if you go to your mother, and you're 10 or 12 years old, and your mother says, well, sweetheart, we're going to clean the living room, and I would like you to do all the dusting. But first, I'm going to vacuum everything. First, I'm going to clean the living room, and then you do the dusting. And you say, well, why shouldn't I do the dusting first? And your mother says, just do as I ask you. But I want to know. Just do as I ask you. I want to know. Now, you go to your room, and you play, and you have a good time. And then I'll tell you when I'm done. So you go to your room, because that's the better part of that part. And you play. And then your mother calls you down and says, okay, sweetheart, come on down now. You can do the dusting. And so you take out the feather duster and start spreading the dust all over. And mother says, no, not like that. Not like that. You take a cloth and you have an oily surface to it or something. And you dust everything beautifully. And you check. And then while you're doing it, you're so proud. And you say, Mommy, isn't this nice? Isn't this nice? And Mommy says, you every time you do everything so beautiful, I'm so proud of you. Mommy, why didn't you let me do the dusting first? Well, sweetheart, if I let you do the dusting first, then by the time I got done, it'd be all dusty again. Now that I'm all done and you do the dusting, then the dusting will stay done for a while. Oh, well, why didn't you tell me that? Because if I had told you that, you would have disagreed with something else. When you do a task because you're told to do it in love and in respect, then the blessing is there for it. But if you have to know the reasons why you're doing a task, then there's no blessing in it, because you haven't learned the humility to follow instructions to do what you're asked to do. When your boss has to explain to you why you should sort the papers in the way you do it, why you should staple each stack, why you should do this and that and the other thing, then you're an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
If your boss says do it, do it. He writes the paycheck. You know, simple and clear. If your boss says do it, do it. He's your boss. If your husband says do this, or your wife says do this, or your parents say do this, just do it. But we have never learned to follow directions, because we have always felt that we are intelligent enough to understand it and to go on. But you cannot understand principle. You cannot understand law. You follow these many beliefs. You go to Sai Baba. You go to all the teachers around the world. They're going to Eckhart Tolle now in Switzerland, and our group, and they're going to go and listen to him give his talk on, what did he talk about? The now. And what are they going to hear? They're going to hear exactly what they have in their own mind. If they would go to hear Eckhart Tolle speak, and they would say, I really wonder what he's going to say. But they know what he's going to say, and they expect him to say it, and if he doesn't say it, they're not going to be happy. But if they go to hear him speak and say, I wonder what marvelous gem I'm going to get from this lecture tonight or from this sharing, their hearts are open, their minds are open, they're like a sponge ready to draw in all of the good that is to be given. But they don't. They don't. They all go with preconceived ideas. And you say, well, they'll get a little bit. Yeah, sure. They'll get a little bit. When Rex gets one tongue full of water, do you think he's happy? He wants a dozen, you know? And if they're going to get just one tongue full of water, they're not going to be happy. They won't be satisfied. And this is how you are, each of you. You have followed many teachers. You've listened to many drummers. And, hey, that's great. But I only say one thing to you. I don't say don't go and hear them. I say turn off everything that you've had in the past. Go like a fresh sponge and take from that all that you can understand or all that you can gather from it. And then later, regurgitate it. Later, think about it again. And then keep whatever it is that's valuable to you and let go of that which is not valuable. It's just that simple. So, enthusiasm and belief in me is unfailing to my success. If I am going to listen and follow and get excited about something, you can be sure I'm going to have a good time with it. I'm going to Disneyland! Oh, 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 oh. Hey, God, I'm going to Disneyland with the kids again. Oh, what a bore. I tell you, I spend all my time chasing the kids. I get them treats and stuff like that. And, oh, what a bore. Well, who's going to enjoy Disneyland?
Nobody.
The guy who says, oh, boy, oh, boy, we're going to Disneyland. Not the guy, oh, God, I got to take care of the kids. Now, just in that illustration, if you're going to Disneyland with the kids, see Disneyland through the kids' eyes, and you'll have the greatest time of your life. If you expect them, the children, to see Disneyland through your eyes, it will be a bore. It will be a bore. Do you want to go on those exciting rides? Do you want to go on the loop-de-loop? Do you want to do all the things that they do? No, you want to go into the house of tomorrow. You want to go into the future kingdom. You want to go into the intellectual spa, so to speak. And the kids want to go into the fun stuff. So, if you want to go into the intellectual spa, go there by yourself. Go by yourself. And the kids won't bother you. And you'll find a full day's enjoyment of all the things that are designed for adults, if you want them. And if you want to go there with the kids, see it through the kids' eyes and have a ball. That's just how life is all designed to be. See it through the eyes of the divine within you. Enthusiasm and belief in me is unfailing to my success, and don't you know it. I'm a happy, happy, happy guy. I love you, I love you, I love you. And have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.